All ready to hear God's word? It's good. Glad you are. So this morning, we're on a series called Renewed by His Word. But I'm just going to skip out of that for this morning. I just want to talk to you a little bit about parenting, because parenting is a great thing. We just already talked about the fact that we never really get done being parents. And for those of you that are a little younger and aren't parents yet, pretty soon you'll get this opportunity. So take notes and try and listen and learn. One of the things that really happened to me when I was walking down the hospital hallway with my son Levi, because he was the first, is I was really touched. Because I don't know about you, as a guy, I look at a baby and they're kind of ugly, really. You know, and they're messed up and they're all wrinkled and red. And it's just like, you know, like everybody says they're cute. And I'm like, not so much. But anyway, but with my son, I was like, this is the most beautiful kid in the whole world. I can't believe everybody else's kids are kind of ugly, but mine's beautiful. But like, I was like so profoundly touched when I realized the love that I felt in my heart for that young person. Are you okay? That as I held my own son in my arms, I thought there's nothing that I would not do for this child. There's nothing that I wouldn't, no energy that I wouldn't exert. And the love I felt for him was so profound and so powerful. And then God reminded me that that's the same love, except much purer and much greater and much more powerful, that he has for us, for me as a person, for Ralph, that he sees you and he loves you profoundly. So many times we as people are so ashamed. We're so, God can't help me. God can't like me. God doesn't. But like, think of your child. Think of how much you love that child. No matter how much they mess up, no matter how many times they drive you crazy, no matter how many times they jump on you when you're sleeping or whatever, and but you love them. And God, I just want to tell you this morning, God loves you in that same way. He loves you. He's not angry. He's not mad at you. He's not out to get you. He loves you with a very profound and a very deep love. And when we think about being parents, I think this is one thing. You know, every time you're tucking your kid into bed at night, no, I don't do that anymore because they're a little old and they'll think I'm a weirdo. But like, honestly, when you're, even your grandchildren, as you tuck them into bed at night, you say goodnight to them. And you look at them sleeping there in their bed and you think, what a beautiful gift. Think about God looking down on you and thinking that exact same thing. What a beautiful gift. What a wonderful thing it is to have this person. God loves you. He cares about you so much. So today, as we present, you know, Scarlett and Bear to the Lord, as we are here to witness Josh and Leah's commitment to raise them in the ways of the Lord, I just want to take a few moments to share a little bit about living life intentionally as far as raising children. And I would say, like, just, you know, like, even about how you influence the kids around you, because we all influence some kids. We all have people in our world that they're looking to us to see how we live. Raising kids in every generation has been challenging, and it takes a lot of hard work and consistency to do it in a way that would establish our children in a life with God. Because seriously, I don't really care. I do care about their careers. I care about that. But my major, major concern for my kids and for your kids is that they have a relationship with Jesus that's real. That it's not just a passing thing. It's not just another check box to tick off after you've been to church on a Sunday morning, but it's a relationship, a face-to-face, heart-to-heart relationship with God. That's been my goal and my desire since the kids were little. And I'm going to tell you this, like, honestly, we need to put our money where our mouth is. We need to give our kids experiences where they can go and meet with God. Kids camps, youth camps, youth conferences, even as families go once in a while to a special conference so that they can be in the presence of God and meet with God. I think it's so important. It's really powerful. So I don't know about you, but that's my prayer, that they would have a genuine and authentic relationship with God. And that they would own that themselves, that they would want that for themselves. Not something I would push them into, because I really feel like this. I really feel like it's important for us to keep presenting the love of God to our children. But we can't make them serve God. That's their choice. They have to choose. But we can help them to know God, and we can help them to love God, and we can help them to serve God. I believe it's one of the greatest stewardships we have as believers. And it's our responsibility to God to build a strong foundation of faith for our children. I believe that's done day by day consistently. If you're trusting in Sunday morning, Sunday school to do it, or if you're trusting in the youth pastor to do it, or whoever you're trusting to do it, I think that you're going to be disappointed. I think that training our kids in the ways of the Lord is the thing we do every day in our homes and by our life. It's bringing God into every part of your life and letting them see that. It's a privilege and an honor to raise our kids and to be stewards. And the promise is that God will bless us as we do that and pour his blessing out through us when we do it. This is what the Bible said. This is this scripture from Genesis. And I think about this as I raise my children. It says in Genesis 18, verse 18 to 19, and this is from a different version I don't usually use. It's called The Voice. It's kind of interesting. It words things a little different than other versions do, but it's helpful. It says, after all, Abraham will become the father of a great and powerful nation, and all the other nations of the world will find their blessing in him. This is the part I want you to pay attention to. I have chosen him for a reason, namely that he will carefully instruct his children and his household to keep themselves strong in relationship to me and to walk in my ways by doing what is good and right in the world and by showing mercy and justice to all others. I know he will uphold his end of the covenant so that he can ensure my promises to him will be fulfilled and upheld as well. So Abraham was chosen by God to be the father of the nation of Israel, by extension, the father of our faith, because, the Bible says, because he would carefully instruct his children and his household to keep themselves strong in relationship to him. I would challenge you that this is a scripture that we as parents should take on as we raise our children. Abraham had a great influence on the world. He did. We see like his influence up to this day. And I mean, like the Jewish faith is big, but the Christian faith is over 2 billion strong because of Abraham and because of the life he led. He's called the father of our faith. But I would say this, that you as a parent, you as a family have a potential to have influence around your world. What God's plan for Abraham was is that through the Jewish people, through Abraham's seed, that the nations of the world would be blessed. That they would experience God's blessing and see God's blessing in Abraham, and that they would then experience and see it for themselves. Well, I talked about this last week a little bit, but my father gave his heart to the Lord when we were just, you know, young children. I was probably about 6 or 7 years old. And that encounter that he had with God changed my life. Changed his life, but changed my life and changed my children's lives. And I see, like when my dad died, you know, 13 years ago, probably about 1,000 people walked by his casket to say goodbye to him. People from all over Canada, some from the United States, all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast, people came to just say, give their respects because he had an influence on their life. And so that influence has grown through his children and then through his children's children. And we have a potential as God's people to influence many people. I would assume that through his life, at some point, hundreds of thousands of people would be influenced because of a decision he made to serve God and raise his children to serve the Lord. I really believe that. So we stand here this morning, Josh and Leah, with the potential to see God use your lives to not only just, you know, have impact and influence on the on Bear and Scarlet, but to have impact and influence really could be around the whole world. And I know that's a big thing to think about, but I think it's really true. As we learn and understand that there's a responsibility we carry as we pass the torch of relationship with Jesus from one generation to the next. It's really important. In the King James, it says that God chose Abraham because he knew he would command his children to serve the Lord or order his children. And I think a lot of times that scripture has been taken a little out of context, because the whole idea of this verse is that he would order their lives so that they could have a relationship with God. He would put things in order so that they could relate with God. But many times as Christian people, we've tried to command our children to serve the Lord. And what I've seen happen as people command and don't lead their children to serve the Lord is people have become bitter against God and against the church. They become angry and they don't really have a relationship with God for themselves. But what I'd like you to do, and everybody is people here, is to lead your children into a relationship with God. Order your lives in a way that your children can see God at work in your life and desire to have a relationship with him too. It's really, really important. Being a parent can really be a fun time, or else it can be a real drudgery and stressor. I hear parents, when every time I ask them how they're doing, they're like, oh, the kids. Oh, the kids again, right? Like, and so realize there's pressure. They realize there's a great expense raising the kids. It's a big time commitment. It's all that kind of stuff. But it should be a fun time. It should be a time of enjoyment and pleasure. If it's a drudgery to you, what I want to just challenge you to do, it's just to get a little closer to God. You know, build your relationship with God. Draw near to him. Because that was what this verse said, right? Is to have a relationship with God and to walk in his way. So I challenge you to just really work on your own relationship with God. And if it's a stressor for you, it's a great opportunity to learn to trust the Lord. It's one thing to have faith. It's one thing to work up faith for something. But to live a life of trust where we just trust that God has us, that he's taking care of us, that he's leading us and guiding us, that's another thing. It's a powerful thing. So just learn to trust God. Just lean into him. So I read this scripture already in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 9, but it says, love God, your God, with all your whole heart, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you. Then get them inside of your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall asleep in bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. I love what this verse says. It says, get these words inside of you. This Bible, this Word of God, but sometimes people have made it into just such a bondage or a problem for them. This is God's gift to us, so we can understand him and know his ways and learn to follow him. So the Word of God is a blessing to us, and we need to learn it and study it and meditate on it and let its words get into our hearts. We need to let it get inside of us. If we don't have it inside of us, if we're just going to read some words from a page of a devotional or something to our kids and try and get them to understand God, and we don't have a relationship with him, if we don't have him inside of us and his words inside of us, it's going to be hard for us to share that, the power of God's word with them, right? The thing I love about God's word is that when he asks us to do something, he tells us how to do it. And so he goes on to say, first of all, write them on your own hearts. Write these words on your own hearts. So how do we do that? We read the Word of God. We just take some time every day to read a bit of God's Word and we think about it. We think, how does this apply to my life? What's God saying to me through this? What is God trying to teach me through this? And then we take that in until we understand that that Word is for us. and we get it in our own hearts. It's to take God's written word and meditate on it. Apply it in your life in real time. Internalize it by memorization. And then talk about it. Talk about God's word. It's okay. You know, like, it's good to talk about the Maple Leafs, or maybe if you're a Patriots fan, the Patriots. But we should talk about God's word sometimes, too. We should have an interest in it. We should let it start to build our life. We need to grow in that. So, talk about it to your family. Talk about it with your kids. Talk about what God's word says. Remind them. Like, you know, we always, when we were raising the kids, we would take opportunities when they were going through stuff to try and teach them about God's word. Like every Sunday morning, we were trying to teach our kids how to tithe, right? So we believe in that as a family, giving a tithe to the Lord. So we would give them a $5, you know, like, allowance every 2 weeks. And when we gave them their allowance, then we'd say, well, how much should you give to God? And they would take their 50 cents and they say, this is how much we give to God. And we just teach them. We talk about, well, that's true. And when we do that, there's a blessing. And the Bible said if we bring our tithe in the storehouse, it'll pour out a blessing we can't contain. So we taught them and trained them. Every time God gave, we always drove old cars, eh? So some of the cars we had were probably close to a wrecking yard, but we just drove them because we just, cheap, right? I'm Dutch. I'm cheap. I can't help it. But like, so every time we got a new car, the kids were all excited. They didn't care what it looked like back in those days. And we just give thanks to the Lord for the new car God gave us. It was just, you know, it's power. But everything we do, reminding the kids that God's a part of it, bringing God into all of it. As a family, we always gave thanks to the Lord for the good things he did for us and the awesome gifts he gave to us. So like some things, you know, you work for yourself. That you might be a man here and you work really hard. And you really save and you really do what you do. And you get something and you say, well, I got that. But really, if you really think about it, it's God who gave you the power to get it. And it's good to give thanks in front of your children for whatever you receive. Whatever your job and your hard work and everything has earned you. Give thanks to the Lord for it. And give thanks in front of your kids. We always presented our struggles and worries to God. And we always closed our day with the kids in prayer. When they were young enough, we would, you know, go into their room and we would pray with them. And we'd have a scripture that we were memorizing. And as we were memorizing it, we would say one word, they'd say the next. So we'd say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall. And we'd go back and forth. And it was just a game. And we just had fun and we learned scripture and we just brought God into our everyday life. I remember one time we were going away on a holiday to Florida, and friends of ours had given us the use of their brother's condo in Florida, but we were flying down and we were pretty tight for money and we were running pretty tight on budget. So I rented a little Hyundai Accent, you know, in Florida to drive our family around in with all our luggage. Tiny little thing, you know. And we were praying, driving away from our house, and we were just praying, asking God for protection for our trip and that we'd have a good time. And I just threw in at the end, and God, give us an upgrade on our rental, right? So we got to the airport, and we got to the desk of the rental car agency, and they said, we're really sorry. We don't have your Hyundai Accent. Would you mind? We have a Chrysler Town and Country van that you could use instead. Would that be okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's hard, but we'll do it, right? And then every time we got in that van after that, we gave thanks to the Lord because he answered our prayer and he gave us. And so these are ways, you know, we just find ways to bring God into everything. But God was in it. Like, I believe that he heard that prayer and he did away with the Hyundai Accent. And he gave us a beautiful Town and Country, you know, stow and go so we could hide all our, you know, stuff under this. It was awesome. Right? I remember when Logan was going through, you know, like he had some problems, some health problems. He's going through surgery and stuff. And we were waiting for just some bunch of test results. And while we were waiting, I had a ton of books that my dad left me, just all books about healing and miracles and stuff like that. And he needed a miracle. He was in a lot of pain. And so when he was laying on the couch suffering, I paid him $2 a book to read these books so that he could learn about what God's word said about healing, so that he could get that word inside of his heart. And I know $2 isn't much to you now, But when you're a 10 or 11-year-old kid, $2 is pretty good. So he read a lot of books, and he got some money, and he learned about what God's Word. But I wanted to put a priority on him going to God's Word and finding out what God said about him, even more than what the doctors were going to say. So, like, honestly, bring God into your everyday life with your kids. These were things we did intentionally. We thought about them as a couple and did in order to put some things deep into our kids' heart, but also into our own hearts. I don't know about you, but I find that whenever I'm helping someone else, I do better myself. You ever find that? Where you kind of step along beside someone and they're needing help, and you just kind of really step in to help them out with things, that you actually grow yourself from it. And I found that with the kids too. As we raised them, God helped us to grow in relationship with Him too. I think one of the problems we have in our culture today is that nobody's really thinking ahead. Nobody's really thinking about anything past today. It's like today the expedient thing to do is this, so I'm going to do it without thought of what's going to happen down the road. We're seeing it all through the news right now with all this stuff coming out about different men and their stuff from their past. You know, like, it was all good fun and games back in that day, but today it's costing them their careers. It's costing them their lives, really. Everything that they've worked to build is gone because they didn't think ahead to what that would cost them in the future. We need to live with that idea in mind. If I build this today, what will that produce in the future of my child? How is what I'm doing today going to help or hurt my child to walk with the Lord and to grow up to do everything God asks them to do? Here's what it says in Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17. It says, so watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. In the Voice version, it says, so be careful how you live. Be mindful of your steps. Don't run around like idiots, as the rest of the world does. Instead, walk as the wise. Make the most of every living and breathing moment, because these are evil times. So understand and be confident in God's will, and don't live thoughtlessly. So now I'm just getting ready to start my message. So I just have three things I want to talk to you about. Well, I won't be long, I promise. I won't be long. First thing I want you to think about as a parent is perfection is not required for you or your kids. You're never going to be perfect. If you think you are, you're lying to yourself. Let me break the news to you. You're not perfect, and your kids are not going to be perfect. They're going to make mistakes, and that's why we call it training. We call it training. And whenever you go into training, you go into training because you don't know what to do. You have to learn what to do, right? You need to learn how to live, or you need to learn how to do things. So if I could ask you all to be honest here, how many of you have ever done something stupid when you were young? 10 or 12 people. That's good. So you're all honest? At least 10 or 12 of you. How many of you were disrespectful to your parents? Right? How many of you did things that you knew you shouldn't do? Why are you surprised when your children do? Why? Why are you surprised? Or worse yet, why do you try and cover for your kids when they make mistakes? Why do you try and make excuses for them? Why don't we just let them own up to what they did, take responsibility for what they did, and grow from it? I think that I've seen so many parents that are somehow, they feel so wrapped up in how their kid lives about their own image and their own life that they, when their kids make mistakes, they take it as a personal thing. But really, like, think back, your own life, you made mistakes, you're going to fall down. I bet you, most of you are going to do something stupid this week, maybe even before the end of today. And so when you do, it's okay. So your kids are going to make mistakes. Learn from what they're doing and then figure out how to train them so that they don't do it again. So we see the fall. We see kids fall. Then we need to develop a plan for training. That's our job, our calling. This is what it says in Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. It doesn't say if he falls or maybe he'll fall. It says even though he falls, he will not be cast down because the Lord upholds him. And our kids are the same. They're going to fall. But they need us to not let them hit the bottom. They need us to be there to encourage them and help them and train them so that they can pick themselves up and move on. So make a plan. Train them. It's our job, our calling. If you don't know what to do, ask the Lord. The Bible says if you need wisdom, ask God. He gives it to all men liberally. And then you can ask someone, look around you. Like, how many of you know some good parents? People that have raised their kids well. So look to that person and ask them for help. If your parents did a good job raising you, ask them to help you. If they didn't, go find someone that did and ask for help. It's okay. You can get help. I was a youth pastor for a few decades, like over 30 years I was a youth pastor. And one of the things that amazed me in being a youth pastor was that, like, kids did dumb things. Well, it didn't really amaze me. It's that how parents responded to the dumb things their kids did. Like, honestly, when I was a kid, I did so many stupid things. I could write a book about the stupid things I did. And I turned out okay. At least I'm pretty sure I'm okay. But I would sometimes go talk to parents. Because, like, after working with teenagers for 30 years, you kind of get an idea of what they're up to. You start seeing the signs. You kind of know. And so I would go talk to a parent and say, well, this is, you know, what your kid's getting into. Maybe you should just sit with them and talk to them. And more often than not, parents would get upset with me and say, what are you accusing my child of? And I'm like, just trying to help, right? And I actually had times where I developed the strategy. So there's no teenagers in here this morning. So I developed the strategy because parents would never believe me when I told them their kids did something wrong. So I relied on the fact that the kids thought me and their parents were close. And I would say, if you don't, it's better for you to tell your parent that you've been doing this than for me to tell them. So why don't you tell them first? It'll go better for you. And after you told them, tell them to tell me so I know that you told them. So then they would go tell their parent, thinking that they'd be in more trouble if I told. And that way I could get through to the parent. But even in that situation, parents were so often so embarrassed and so disappointed that anybody knew their child had done something wrong, that they tried so hard to cover it up. There's no reason to cover up a child making mistakes. You need to deal with the mistake. You need to forgive the child. And you need to move on. You need to train them. Our kids need to be trained. And they are a work in progress. So don't get angry with them and don't try and cover up or ignore. Just train them and trust God. Every kid does stupid things. I promise you. Bear, especially a boy, and Scarlet will do things that are like, they're kids. They need to learn how to live life. Don't panic. Don't get angry. Just treat them with respect and love them and lead them and show them how to live life. So what it says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16 to 20, it says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds these words wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So we need to learn to just relax and trust God and train our children. I don't think you should be a pushover as a parent. I think you should have rules, and I think you should stick to the rules, but you should do it with love. So the second thing I want to say is humility is the key. Parenting is a tricky balancing act between being strict enough and being compassionate enough. I've seen both ways. I've seen parents that are very strict and harsh, and the kids are usually angry or depressed or shut down. And I've seen parents that are pushovers that never ever discipline their kids and never ever tell their kids they need to change or else. And those kids are just like beastly. They're out of control generally, and they're proud. And so somewhere between those two things, there's some balance. And you need to find the balance. And we need to learn how to do that. We need to learn that there's a sweet spot in raising kids. The problem is, it's hard for us to be objective about ourselves. Right? How many of you ever left a party or something, you've seen how other kids have acted, and you've said, wow, sure glad my kids aren't like that. Anybody? And maybe you possibly could be the parent that they're talking about on their drive home. Because it's hard to actually see yourself the way you are. But we need God's wisdom to help us with that. We need God to help us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, it says, my child, when the Lord corrects you, pay close attention and take it as a warning. The Lord corrects those he loves as parents correct a child whom they are proud of. It's really important for us to know that we can correct our kids and still be loving to them. God corrects us and loves us. We can correct our kids and love them, but we need to correct them. And we also need to have compassion on them. In Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, it says, as a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him. He knows what we're made of. He remembers that we're dust. So when you're thinking of your kids and you're ready to get angry and harsh with your kids, have compassion. Remember what they're made of. They're made of you. Remember that they're kids and they're growing up and they're learning. So we need to discipline our children. I'm telling you, like, find a way to be consistent and strong in your discipline. But don't be angry and harsh in your discipline. Be consistent. So how do you find the sweet spot of discipline? How do you know which way is the best? This is what I think. This is my opinion. I base it on Scripture. So I'm going to give you some Scripture to back it up. Each child is unique. I don't know if you know this. I raised two boys exactly the same. They're 20 months apart. They even, are close friends. But they're both unique and very different from each other. Very different. And what worked with one child did not work with the other child. My second child, if I gave him a spanking, he would look at me and say, that all you got? It was like he didn't care. He was like, whatever. That didn't hurt, right? And so as a parent, that old saying, it hurts me worse than it hurts them. Well, it does, right? Nobody likes to give their child a spanking. It's not fun, right? But when I gave him a spanking, he's like, whatever. So I had to find a different way to discipline him. Like, every child is different and unique, right? I think it's important for us to approach each child differently, but each child with humility. We need to be humble. We need to be humble in how we see our kids. We need to be humble in how we act to our kids. When someone comes to you and tells you something about your kid that makes you feel shame or embarrassment, be humble enough to thank them. And then do something to find out if it's truth, number one. And then to train them out of it. I always assumed I had two boys. If someone came to me and told me they were up to something, I assumed it was a possibility. Because they were two boys and they were growing up. And they weren't done training yet. So when they came to me, I didn't go, oh no, my kid would never do that. I think that's the dumbest thing you could do as a parent. I don't think you should just automatically take their word for it either. But I think you should examine the situation, find out the truth, and if your child has been up to that, deal with it. But don't be ashamed about it. Just deal with it. Don't let your pride get in the way of being able to train your child and make a breakthrough in some area of character in their life. When your kid does something that needs correction, then approach them with humility and serve them. Like, don't talk down to your kids. Don't tell them they're stupid. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. When you tell your kids they're stupid, it doesn't make them smarter. it really doesn't help them at all. It makes them feel stupider, right? So don't talk down to your children, but correct them in love. There's a better way. I don't know about you, but have you ever done a job and then you had someone come along? Like, I like to work on cars a little bit, and every once in a while I'm working on something. It just doesn't work. I'm banging my hands up, and then someone will come and say, here, this is how I do it. And it's like, oh, that's so much easier. You know, it's like that with our kids, right? They're trying to do something. They don't know how to do it. It's hard for them. And as we train them and show them an easier way, it just helps them with life. But when we approach them with humility, they're more likely to receive. The Bible says, you know, in Proverbs 15, verse 1 and 2, it says, a gentle answer turns away rage, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of wise people give good expression to knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out a flood of stupidity. When we're dealing with our kids, a soft answer turns away wrath. When I was a kid, no one had to tell me I did something wrong, because I knew it. Any of you had your parents tell you, like, you know, your parents are coming home, you did something wrong, you know, they're going to sit down and talk to you. They didn't have to tell you you did something wrong. You already knew that. What I needed to know was how to not do it again and why I shouldn't do it again. So talk to your kids. Explain life to them. Explain why this is good, why this is bad. Give them a biblical perspective and show them how to live God's way. God's way is the best way. I'm telling you, God's way is the best way to live. It's the best. So show them that. So it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, younger ones, be subject to the older ones. And all being subject to one another, or respectful and reverent, really just subject is to kind of like listen to and hear what someone has to say. It's like young ones be subject to the older ones, but all of us should be subject to one another. Put on humility. For God resists proud ones, but he gives grace to the humble ones. When we're humble, when we can admit, I've been there. I've had to sit with my sons a couple times and say, I've done what you've done. It doesn't end well. And just let's not go that way. I really think it's not wise for parents to never tell your stories to your kids. I know everybody's afraid that if you tell the story to the kids, they're going to do the same thing. But I think mostly if you tell your stories to your kids and you tell them the mistakes you made, within reason for their age, right? That'll help them to grow and make sense out of life. We always disciplined our kids. We were really consistent with that. We really always, when something was wrong, we dealt with it. But once we dealt with it, we left it. We didn't keep harping on it. We let it go. So that's been part of my next point. So third is forgiveness releases people. It releases our kids. Grace, as we just read, is a gift to us. As we live in humility, that God gives grace to the humble. As a gift that we should share with our kids, grace. Grace is forgiveness when we don't deserve it. Grace is also that God comes alongside of us to help us when we can't do it ourselves. And so that's a gift that we give to our kids. We extend forgiveness when they don't deserve it. And we come alongside them and help them when they can't do it themselves. So we need to learn to do that well. So I'm not saying to you, don't discipline your kids and just let them off. In fact, I think the discipline should be consistent and fair. I've seen parents, and so like I'm just telling you some of the, you know, the horror stories that I've seen through the years. But I remember one parent, right, was like, they were going to church one Sunday morning, and they were listening to the country western station, and the parent turned it to the Christian station and said, it's Sunday, we should listen to the radio. We should listen to Christian music on the radio. So the kid said, that's cool. But if we're Christians, then why don't we listen to Christian music all the time? And then they got grounded for a month for being a smart mouth. You know, so I was like, not good, right? And sometimes, like, your kid will do something little, and you'll just ground them, like for unreasonable amounts of time. I think that the rule should be, and this is good for you guys to remember, when it's a character issue, make the discipline strong. Because you want to develop their character. When it's a maturity issue, don't worry as much. Discipline can be light. But when it comes to character, we want to develop good character in our kids, so discipline them. And it doesn't have to be harsh, just consistent. You know, like I always said to my kids, I didn't do the crime, I'm just reporting the crime, right? So like you did it, that's what you chose, that's the life you chose. So this is your thing. And we need to let the kids, once we do though, discipline them, we need to forgive them. There's nothing worse than hearing over and over and over again that you failed, that you let your parent down, that you did it again. And so I find this so many times, parents nag. When their kids do things that are wrong, they don't let it go. Well, forgive them and let it go. The Bible says that actually the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So the devil is the one that comes around all the time and reminds us of what we did wrong. So as a parent, don't act like the devil. Act like God. The Bible said if we ask God for forgiveness, He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. It's really important for kids to grow up in a nurturing and a strong, you know, environment where you think intentionally about how to raise them, a place where they can make mistakes, that they can learn from their mistakes, and they can go on with life without having to keep being reminded over and over about their mistakes. This is a scripture that just strikes me so much. It says in Romans 5, verse 8 and 9, but God put His love on the line for us by offering His Son in sacrificial death while we are of no use to Him whatsoever. Now that we are set right with God by means of this sacrificial death, the consummate blood sacrifice, there's no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. Jesus forgives. He paid the price in full for our sin. We don't have a debt anymore. It's been paid. And so when you raise your kids, don't keep them in debt all the time. Release them. Set them free and help them to live life with God. If we, by grace, would put the past in the past, they could grow more consistently into who God wants them to be. We don't want to be the devil in their life and keep bringing up past sins, but we want to correct them. Show them the complete forgiveness that God has shown us, and then move forward and live life. I just want to encourage you all as parents here, whether you're older parents or younger parents, think about living intentionally. Think about what you do today and how that will affect your future. Think about it, and think about how it will affect your children's future. It's really, really important, and it really will help you as you raise your children.